Thank you. I could really get used to these introductions. Whenever I need a little boost in confidence, I'm going to call Jack Shepherd up, man. Seriously, though, that trip to Chicago was an amazing time, and I forgot until this morning that that was when Jack started leading worship. And it's hard to believe that he started in high school because it seems like he's been playing his whole life. Anyway, my name is Chris, and I'm really excited to be here with you all this morning. I want to talk about missions and talk about myself and talk about scripture, but I want to start with a video clip. So if we could play the clip. Thank you.
Jumping up and down the floor. My hat is an animal, and once there was an animal, it had a son that mowed the lawn. The son was an okay guy. They had a pet dragonfly. The dragonfly ran away, but it came back with a story to say.
Do you have any cars available?
Yeah, we have a blue one and a red one.
I take the red one.
Okay, so that was a movie trailer, and it was originally a short story written in 1939 about a guy named Walter Mitty who had a pretty mundane and boring life, but he would have these wild and crazy daydreams. And I haven't seen this movie, so I can't really vouch for it. But when this adaptation came out, apparently Ben Stiller is Walter Mitty, and he is an office worker for Life magazine. He has these daydreams, and then he gets given the task of actually going out into the world, out of the office, and he ends up going on some adventures to get a photograph that was missing. And the way my mind works, when I saw this trailer, I thought of going on a mission trip. And this sounds silly. I know this is just something that we can laugh about. But, you know, missions doesn't mean you're jumping on a helicopter going over the ocean or going out and going on these kinds of crazy adventures. But there is something to be said about getting your life kind of shaken up and getting out of your normal routine and out of your comfort zone to go do something for the Lord. In a new way. And the adventures don't always have to be physical. They don't have to be all the way in some foreign land. They might be, but it might be an adventure that you go on that's right here in your own town, in your own home, within your own family, within your work, where you might learn something about a person you work with or you see every day and ask a certain question or a set of questions or have a conversation that leads into some sort of adventure, that you're getting involved with someone else in the core of their life. They're getting involved in the core of your life, and sometimes it's messy, but there's an adventure that God might have for you there, where he's going to do something great in your life or in their life. And I wanted to show this clip because I think going on a trip, doing a missions trip, can be a great way to shake you up. Like Jack said, and like, I'm not sure if Pastor Bo said, but I've been coming here for a long time. I started coming here as a high school student, back in 1997, I think it was. And I have so many connections with so many people, so it's great for me to be here and look and see so many familiar faces where I first met some of you when I was coming here as a high school student, and my small group leader, Tim Gertz, was in the last service, and I got involved with the worship team here. I got involved with the youth ministry and the leadership team there, and I was an intern a couple summers. I was actually an intern with Valik from Ukraine, who Pastor Bo mentioned earlier and that we prayed for. I went on several mission trips. I came on staff at the church for 4.5 years. And so there's just so many connections, and it's always amazing for me to come back here and be a part of that. So for the past 2 years, I've been in Washington, D.C., and God had called me there to go serve at a ministry called the Center for Student Missions. And the way I got involved with that was through this church again. When I first started coming here, we were going on these yearly trips. Every Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, we would go down to Washington, D.C. and serve in the city. And the only times I'd ever been to D.C. before was to just go to the National Mall and see all the sights, which are amazing. But we saw a part of D.C. that I had never been to. And we worked with the homeless population. We worked with seniors and people who were sick, and we delivered food, and we visited people in senior homes and things like that, rehabilitation centers. And it really shook me up. I mean, I'm from Claymont, and I went to school in North Wilmington, and I just hadn't really been in a city very much. So it was something that was new for me, and it showed me different kinds of needs that I hadn't seen before. That was back in 1998, and now I am the director for the Center for Student Missions in Washington, D.C. So we're located in 10 different cities across the country, and I work in D.C., and we're going to show another video clip, and this is going to be the last video clip, but it's just a one-minute overview of what CSM is.
You know, it used to be that when you wanted to do missions, you had to go across a border, you had to get on an airplane across salt water. Here at CSM, you don't have to go much more than 500 miles to get to one of our cities.
We're bringing in groups that are bringing energy and adding support to the ministries that are already in the city.
In a lot of cases, it can just give that spark to a ministry that they need.
I would say the best part of CSM is getting to go and serve to those that you would never would have thought to.
They're getting interaction with people coming from all different walks of life that they think they're divided from.
So it's a cross-cultural experience where you get to hear different languages, eat different foods, and get to interact with people where the gospel becomes a reality to you.
It's going in and hearing that person's story, seeing where they're coming from, finding that common that you have, and then, you know, Jesus will show up.
So there's the one-minute overview. What we do, we host mission trips from all over the country. Last week, I just hosted a group from Canada. They're from Ontario, and they served in D.C. for a week, and I was their guide. So I went with them. I was up at really early, 6 before the sun most days, to be there with them for breakfast, and I wouldn't come back till late at night. And we would be serving all throughout D.C. all day long. We provide housing for them. We provide food for the groups. We provide their schedule and a staff person to go along with them. And over the past couple of years, we have hosted, well, I guess it was just last summer, we hosted a Brandywine youth ministry trip to D.C. last summer. And this year they're going to Chicago, also with CSM. So that's who CSM is, and that's my connection with them. But I want to go back to my first international mission trip and explain a little bit about that to you guys. When I first started coming here in 98, I made a lot of friends. It was a really great place for me. As a teenager, I had a lot of questions about life and trying to figure out, you know, what's the purpose of all this? What's the meaning behind all this? And at the time, we had a youth pastor named Bill Heider, and he was explaining the Bible to me and explaining things to me in a way that I had never heard before, in a way that really connected with me, and that I could understand the Bible being real. And so all my friends were going on this mission trip to Haiti. I had never left the country before, and they were telling me I should come on this trip with them, and so there was positive peer pressure, I guess you could say, to go on a mission trip. And I started going to the meetings to get more information about it, and Bill would say things like, okay, everyone, make sure for next week you write down your testimony so that we're ready to talk about it and you can practice. And I'm like, Bill, what's a testimony? You know, and he had to explain it. Chris, that's when you write down how you became a Christian. Oh, okay. And then we're going to go to Haiti and we're going to do some evangelism. I'm like, Bill, what's evangelism? You know, and he walked me through it. But the point is, I didn't know what I was doing, really. I just kind of took the leap of faith and went for it. And on that trip, we led 2 weeks of vacation Bible school at 2 different churches in northern Haiti. And we did some construction work with a church and some houses. And then we also did some outreach in the community at night. We would show a movie about the life of Jesus in the local language. And so all these different experiences, I was just really along for the ride. But God confirmed in my life and in my heart a lot of things about him that I came back from that trip just saying, okay, God, I believe you, you're real, whatever you want, let's go. I realized at that trip that nothing else was going to provide the kind of meaning and purpose other than a life of serving the Lord. And it didn't mean that I had to go overseas to be a full-time missionary, but I did end up going on a lot of trips. So through being on staff and through being in college, I went on, ended up going on over 20 different mission trips. I sat down last night and wrote them all down, and I couldn't believe that I'd been on over 20. I'm not saying you guys have to go on 20 mission trips, but Pastor Bo asked me to share some things that I had learned over the years doing these mission trips. But one more thing before I jump into that, I just want to thank all of you here, especially the ones that I have known over the years or I've met through this church, because really, I've been amazed ever since I've started coming here at the kind of, first of all, the wisdom and the knowledge that people in this church have, the biblical literacy, that people know the Bible so deep and so strong, and the way that this church puts that knowledge into action here in Wilmington and all over our region and all over the world. So everything that I've learned from missions has been from this church. And so thank you for that if you've been a part of that journey for me. And I always get excited to come back and see people. But when Bo asked me to share some things, the first thing I wanted to share was that it's biblical, that this call to missions is something that is for every Christian. This is kind of missions 101, but it's Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then in Acts 1:8, when the disciples were being sent out, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And what I love about that verse is that it takes it from personal and makes it global. So it starts out in Jerusalem, which was sort of the area where they were, where they may have been from, to the surrounding regions, Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And so there's a call that as a church, as a body of believers, we need to be hitting all of those marks. We need to be working here in our region and in our world. And it doesn't mean that everyone has to do all of those things. That sounds like it could be a recipe for burnout. But as a body, we cover all those bases together. And so your job and my job is to find our role in that mission. And how do we live that out? So some people might be writing checks for the students that are going on mission trips. But I think that if that's great and we need that, but maybe it's to go. It depends on what God's calling you to do. So the first point is that it's biblical. The second one is that it's by God and it's for God. If you have a Bible, it'd be great if you could turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 10 and 11. And when I was thinking about verses to share for missions, I didn't think about this one at first. It took me some searching, and I came across it in a way that I didn't expect to. But I think 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 is really a great proof text for doing missions work. Starting in verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And so what I see here are two different things, words and actions. And isn't that what we have to offer? What we say and what we do. And what this verse says is that if we speak, our words should be the words of God, and that our actions should be done in the strength that God provides. And so the first thing is that it's not our strength and it's not our words. It's something that missions and service, something that is by God, it's his strength and his words, and it's for his purposes. Which right after that it says, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. And so that's the end result. We don't do missions to go on adventures. We don't do missions to have fun and bond with our team and have inside jokes, which always happens when we go on mission trips. But we're doing it ultimately for the Lord. And if we go out in for other reasons, for other motives, then it's probably not going to be as good as it could be. If we try to do the work with our own strength, it's not going to last very long. And what we do back to DC and CSM, we hire interns for the summer. And they actually take the groups around DC and they're with them day in, day out for a week at a time. We have about 7 groups at any given time, so each staff gets a group to go around the city with. And it's an exhausting job. So we tell them at the beginning of training, at the beginning of the summer, we tell them, you can probably get through this job for about a week or two on your own strength, but you're going to break down and you're not going to be able to continue. So you're going to have to trust in the Lord to do it, and you're going to have to rely on him and his strength. You're not going to be able to have control of every single thing that you're going to be doing, and you're going to have to trust. And so we say, why not just start out trusting in the Lord and don't try to do it on your own strength? And that can be done in a lot of different ways. You know, for each of us, that might look different. I think it involves a lot of prayer. And I think it involves a lot of encouragement from others and encouraging others. But I also think it involves taking time to slow down and to rest so that you're not just running nonstop. The third thing that I learned about doing missions was that it changes your perspective and the trajectory of your life. And this is a really important point for me, and I want to take a little time here to share some stories about what this means to me. I don't know what I'd be doing in my life right now if it wasn't for that first trip that I went on to Haiti in 1998 or 99. But it was something that really did alter the direction that my life was going in. A couple of years ago, it was 2011, and I was working here on staff at the church, and I led a trip of high schoolers to Nashville with CSM. And we got there, and we're doing all kinds of different things. One thing we did is we went out into the city. The leaders there they gave us bottles of water and bag lunches and said, go out and find someone who's in need and eat lunch with them. So they took us to a part of the city where there are normally people who are panhandling, you know, asking for money on the side of the street. And we met a guy who was selling a newspaper that focused on homelessness and homeless issues. So they have them in Wilmington now too. I think they're called Street Sense, and that might be the DC one. I don't know. Either way, they're really neat. They're an opportunity to provide jobs for people who are homeless, because when they sell these magazines, they get commission on that, but also everything in the magazine is written by people who are homeless or formerly homeless, and so it is a tool for advocacy as well. And so we were talking to this guy, and he had a lot to say about it, and we bought some of the newspapers from him, and we told him that we were here to learn and to help with issues facing the city involving homelessness and that sort of thing, and he said, well, if you're looking to learn, we have a meeting in a few minutes where everyone from Nashville who is going to be receiving their new newspapers are going to be here to receive them, and they're going to be distributing those newspapers. So he invited us into this meeting to see the firsthand look at what it was like and who was there. So we entered into a church of about 300 people, and these were all homeless and formerly homeless. We met people afterwards and were talking and just kind of learning from people. It was an incredible experience. But there was a girl on our trip. She was a college student, and she got in a conversation with one of the homeless guys there, and the conversation took a turn towards Christ. When, of course, he asked us, where are we from? What are we doing? And we said, we're part of a church group. And he got into talking about church and how he used to go, but he doesn't anymore, and well, why not? And he was saying that he's done so many things in his life that have been bad and sinful, and he doesn't think that God would forgive him. And so if you're on a mission trip and you hear someone say that, that is just your perfect opportunity, right, to say, look, that's what the point of the gospel is. You're right. We can't do it on our own, and we need to receive the forgiveness of the Lord. That's what the gospel is. And so she shared that with him. And something about that time, the Spirit was at work there. This man accepted the Lord. And he was committed to going to a church after that when we left. And so we weren't there to be able to follow up with him and meet with him every week, you know, but we trusted him to the Lord to do that, and we did everything that we could at the time. So that was an amazing experience, and we're walking out of the church, and we're thinking, we don't need to wait to go on a mission trip to do this sort of thing. We all felt this calling to continue this kind of ministry when we got back home to Delaware. So the next Sunday, I got about four or five college students, and we got together over in the kitchen in the youth wing, and we made 15 bag lunches, got some bottles of water, and we headed down to Wilmington. We walked around the city, had no idea where to go, what to do, just were praying that we would find some people to hand them out to, and we didn't know. So we walked for about an hour, and we ended up at Rodney Square, where there were about 15 or 20 people all hanging around and just kind of talking, and we went up to them and asked them if anyone was hungry. And they got so excited, they cheered, actually, and said, yeah, we're all hungry, come on over. And we gave them everything that we had, and they were so grateful for that. But it started a conversation. We talked with them, we learned who they were, their names, where they were from, what their stories were, why they were on the street, and it was a really good time. So they said, okay, you're coming back next week, right? we don't have the money to do this every week, so we just wanted to try it out, and they really encouraged us to come back. So we started to collect money amongst our group, and we made lunches every week and did that for about a year, going to Rodney Square. Over that time, we met so many different people, and I went on a lot of adventures. We took someone to the ER, we visited people in the hospital through that ministry, we visited someone in prison through that ministry, and I ended up going to someone's funeral because of that ministry, all different people. And these are things that I never would have done or never would have happened if we didn't go on that trip to Nashville and learned what it meant to go out and serve someone in that way. And so all these things that, it wasn't just the trip, but it was coming back and seeing my life and my world in a new and different way that I didn't see it before. And that, to me, was the biggest meaning of that trip. Because I'm not in Nashville. You know, I wasn't there to follow up with that man. But I was in Wilmington at the time, and I was able to follow up with people here. The last point I want to make is just about reconciliation. The whole point of doing ministry is reconciling us to the Lord and people to the Lord. This comes from 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. You may be familiar with it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though we were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. This is what it's all about. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. You know, we can't really receive the benefits of God. We can't accept Christ and receive the blessings of contentment and peace and joy, trusting in the Lord, salvation, and not receive the call of being an ambassador of God. We can't separate that. They come together. It's a package deal. And this says, if you are in Christ, if you are a new creation, you have been given the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing two parties together, two parties that are at odds, bringing them into harmony. And so that is what we do. And it's not just about the people that you're out to minister to reach out to. It's about your own heart. And so at the end of this verse, it says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's where the ministry has to come from. If you are not constantly connected with the Lord, you have nothing to give to others. And so people may think, I'm not good enough, I'm not holy enough, I'm not spiritual enough to go on a mission trip. But let me tell you that the reconciliation with God might happen for you on that mission trip. That might be the thing that you need in order to reconnect with the Lord. I see it over and over again when the groups come into Washington, D.C., and these students and adults, we have adult trips as well, once they get on these trips and all the distractions are out of their lives from home, their jobs and school, and they're just focused on the Lord every day, they get reconnected with God in new ways, and I see it. And people, I've seen the tears in people's eyes, and I've seen the conversations that people have. And so that happens. It doesn't have to happen before you go. It can happen on the trip. So don't wait until everything's perfect in order to go. And then once you're there and you get that reconciliation, you'll be able to do that ministry of reconciliation. But I want to encourage everyone here to take that call seriously, to realize that if you're going to receive the benefits of being a Christian, you also need to understand your call as being an ambassador of God. And that it doesn't have to be overseas, it doesn't have to be in another city, but it can be right here. And so for those who know that, you know, going on a trip isn't the right thing for you right now, you need to seriously consider, how can you be going on those adventures, going on those mission trips, seeking out others with intentionality here in your own context. But I also want to say to you, why not go? Why not jump on the helicopter? You know, take that step of faith. I want to just finish with this passage from Matthew 14:25-31. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And so I want to encourage you here this morning, step out of the boat, see what happens. There are plenty of opportunities that you'll see in the lobby on the way out where you can sign up for a trip. But if you know that that's not the right thing for you right now in this time in your life, you can't neglect the call to be a missionary in your own world. So thank you so much for having me, and I'm going to just close out in a word of prayer, and I would love to see you in the lobby on the way out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you love us, that you have forgiven us through your Son. And Lord, we thank you that you don't just leave us alone, but you include us in the work that you're doing in the world of advancing your kingdom. And God, I pray for everyone in this room, myself included, Lord, that we would be listening to your voice in our lives. We would be listening to the call that you have for us. And that we would say yes, Lord, and act in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-hmm.